When I put this together, I think about the changes we've seen in our country in the last 20 years. Crimes being committed, people seeking social acceptance in society, I'll get it right in a minute, that we never could have dreamed of. Every time that we hear the story about the person that committed the crime or about the person that's acting out trying to get something changed, they've got a past. And I can't help but think their past, and they're blaming their past on what they're doing now, and I can't help but think that there might be some guilt in their past. And they don't know how to let go of the guilt. They don't know how to, or they might not be a Christian. But there's guilt in each one of their past. So this morning, or this afternoon, we're going to talk a little bit about guilt. You know, there was a cartoon, and I'm not very good with some of this. There's a cartoon that I came across, and it's a psychologist talking to a patient. And the patient's laying there, and the psychologist, he said, "I think I know what's wrong with you, why you're having feelings of guilt." And the patient said, "What?" He said, "You're guilty. That's why you're having the feelings of guilt. You're guilty." We go to great lengths to try to justify our actions and our feelings. And sometimes we don't look at the cause. What's causing us to feel a certain way? Guilt's an emotion we feel when we feel like we've done something wrong or we've wronged someone else. We have that guilty feeling. It's emotion. And we continue to search in the wrong places for a solution when we need to just humble ourselves and grow closer to God during these times. And being humble is the attitude that we need to have when we have a relationship with God. And we read this in James 4:8-10. "Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted, mourn, and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning, and your joy heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up." We need to look at God when we're having troubles in our lives or having these feelings of guilt. It's easy to get caught up that we're saved by the great works that we do, but we're going to see later that's not the case, and we know that's not the case. We're not saved by our works. We're saved by faith and grace. You know, but it's easy for us to get caught up in their lives, and I think that's how you can beat yourself down sometimes, because society is rewards-based. If you do good here, you get rewarded. You keep getting rewarded. And if we have a slip-up, sometimes it's hard for us to get past that guilt or the slip-up that we have. But we need to remember that we're saved by grace, not works. Also, we need to remember in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." We need to remember this, that we're not without spot or blemish. And the feelings we have may be caused by us doing something wrong. And we need to look to God to help us deal with these. When I looked at this, who charges us with guilt? I just came up, there's probably more, but these are three we'll look at this evening a little bit. The world charges us with guilt. The devil will charge us with guilt. And ourselves, our very own conscience at times, can charge us with guilt. The world will say the church is full of hypocrites. They accuse Christians of being self-righteous, closed-minded, judgmental. And I think about, when I think of this, a song that Dad led at Dozier many times about the world's Bible. We're the only Bible the careless world will read. I think of this a lot because they're watching us. And we think about, what if our hands are busy doing other things than his? What if our feet are walking when sin's allurement is? What if our tongues are speaking of things his life would spurn? You know, we're not living right. The world's watching that. And if they know we're in church on Sunday, they know we're Christians, but we're going to do this, they're going to use that to condemn us. Also, the devil. The devil, the definition of Satan, the devil and Satan, is adversary. And the devil's one who's going to throw anything against you. He's going to use anything he can to try to get between us and our relationship with God. And finally, our conscience, our own selves, can cause us to feel guilt when we have sin. So these are some things we're going to look at this evening. First, we're going to read about the world watches our Christian example. We find in 1 Peter 4:1-4, "For as much then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. For he that had suffered in the flesh had ceased from sin, that no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lust of men, but to the will of God. For the time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles, when we walked in lasciviousness, lust, excess wine, revelings, banquetings, and abominable idolatries, wherein they think it strange that ye run not with them to the same excess right, evil speaking of you. You know, Christ came and suffered for us in the flesh, and when we became Christians, we put on a new person, a new man, and we're supposed to live that way. Your friends, family, they may not understand this, and they're going to try to get you to come their way because they don't understand why you won't do what you used to do. There needs to be that change, and they'll keep trying to get you to do something, and when you do it, they're going to turn that right against you and say, you're no better than me. You're a Christian, yet you're doing the same things I'm doing. So the world will take that and turn that against us, and we need to be careful. I think of this when I look at this as a administrator or teachers, and there's some teachers in here, people that work in school. When you have to be gone, you always worry what's going to happen. So it never failed. When I was gone, I came in the morning, there would be two or three faces sitting there waiting to see me as a principal. And at times, it would be this situation. There would be three there, two that I shouldn't say this, but I wasn't real surprised because they liked to visit me every time I was gone the next day. One that I hadn't seen in 3 or 4 years, maybe a senior, and I've never seen them. And they're sitting there, they're telling me their story, what they did, and we're trying to work through all this. And the whole time I'm thinking, what are you doing here? What are you doing here? Why did you get caught up in this? The whole time. So we go through and we finish our discussions. They go off. And throughout the day sometime, after I probably regained some calmness about myself, I would call them back in and say, what were you thinking? I don't know. I don't know why I did it. They got caught up in the moment. The two that always like coming to see me got them talked into something they'd have never done. So we have to be careful how the world and our friends and everybody can tell us things and lead us off of the path to serving God in the right way. So the world watches us, and we are an example. Excuse me. The devil charges us with guilt. We read in Revelation 12, verse 10, and I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now has come salvation and strength in the kingdom of God, the power of Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. This verse shows the heavenly defeat of Satan and refers to him as the accuser of our brethren. Satan is walking the earth looking for ways to destroy our relationship with God. Satan works and makes us believe that there's no hope for us and because of our actions. We need to remember Jesus came as a Savior and his blood gives us hope. We do not need to give the devil any reason to accuse us. I went to church when I was younger. I remember there was a gentleman there that was in a war, and he couldn't get past what had been done in the war. And I can't help but think the devil was using his conscience and things that he'd done to defend himself to keep him from having that relationship with God. And we need to know that the devil does work through us and through our minds in that way. The devil also, we see, charges us with guilt by working through others. Again, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them to present himself before the Lord. And the Lord said unto Satan, from whence comest thou? And Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth and walking up and down it. And the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him on earth, a perfect and upright man, and one that feareth God and that sheweth evil. And he still holdeth fast his integrity, although thou movest me against him to destroy him without cause. And Satan answered the Lord and said, skin for skin, yea, all that a man hath, he will he give for his life. But put forth thine hand now and touch his bone and flesh, and he will curse thee to thy face. And the Lord said unto Satan, behold, he is not in thine hand, but save his life. So went Satan forth from the presence of the Lord and smote Job with sores and boils from the sole of his feet unto his crown. And he took him up and took him a potsherd and scraped himself withal. And he sat down among the ashes. Then said his wife unto him, dost thou still retain thine integrity? Curse God and die. This is an example, again, how Satan can use other people in our lives to try to get us to change and break, and he tries to destroy the relationship we have with God. and it can cause guilt in our lives. We're going to read a little about our conscience, Acts 24 and 16. And herein do I exercise myself to always have a conscience void of offense toward God and toward man. Here Paul is saying to always have a good conscience void of offense toward God. If the Bible said something is a sin, then it's a sin. We do not need to let the world tell us different. We need to avoid things that the Bible warns against and follow the plan. We need to have a conscience? Yes. We need to know right from wrong? Yes. But do we need to trust our conscience completely? No. Because the world, things that have happened to us in the world can cause our conscience to be calloused, and we might not be seeing things right. We might have our conscience might be too sensitive. We might be too hard on ourselves. It can go either way, and we never feel right. It can go either way. We need to have a conscience, but we don't need that to be the sole guider of our lives. Our conscience, we need to rely on the Bible as our guide because our conscience is not reliable. I'm going to give you an example. I took a class in school to become a principal, and we had to take a law class. We had to study all the court cases in school law. And by the end of the class, I thought I could go to court and do something. But at the end, he said, I'm going to warn you. This class is to teach you when you see something that's not right to know you call somebody who knows. Okay? So our view of our conscience is the same way. It's to let us know we do need to draw nigh to God. We do need to go back and study. We do need to go find the right way we need to be doing things. That's our conscience. It needs to be a guide for us to know to go to search at God's word and do what's right. Our conscience can also work against us. We read in Psalms 51 and 3, for I acknowledge my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. While God and man may forgive us, forgiving ourselves may be more difficult, as David wrote in Psalms 51 and 3. We need to be close to God and trust in his word that we are forgiven. Now, I done messed up because I was going to tell this before, but I'm going to tell it now. I was talking to Sean, and Sean was helping me put this together with some thoughts, and I mentioned conscience. And he said the conscience is a powerful thing. He said there was a lady in Clovis, New Mexico. Now, if I get this wrong, he's going to have to come up and tell it. She was a 70-year-old lady in Clovis, New Mexico, went blind. Earlier in her life, she had lost a child. And as far as we know, or I can tell, it was she should have no guilt from that. Or I don't know if she should. I should put it that way. But she went blind and went to the hospital. The doctors couldn't find a thing physically wrong with her. Not a thing. So they started with a psychologist and on the psychology end. And she started working through some of these problems. And guess what happened? As she worked through the problems and she let some of that go, her eyesight came back. And she could see. The conscience is a powerful thing. And it, like David said here, for I acknowledge my transgressions and my sin is forever before me. If you continue to beat yourself up, it will put a wedge between you and your relationship with God. Sorry, we need to realize that our conscience is powerful and look to God for answers. We read in Hebrews 9:11-14, Christ being come and high priest of good things to come by a greater or more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of the goats and the calves, but by his own blood he entered into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. If the blood of bulls and goats and ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifieth and purifieth of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works and serve a living God? Here we see the old law, they had sacrifices to roll sins forward, but Christ came and sacrificed himself for our sins, and the blood should cleanse us. Christ offering himself without a sinful stain in his nature or life should cleanse the most guilty conscience from the dead or deadly works to serve a living God. So we see here then, Christ came for us, so we need to purge our conscience. I put this in, are you consumed with guilt? Is the world and the devil using yourself and your conscience working against you and you're consumed? Here's what can happen. Matthew 27:1-5. And when the morning was to come, all the chief priests and elders of the people took counsel against Jesus to put him to death. And then we bound him, they led him away and delivered him to Pontius Pilate, the governor. Then Judas, which betrayed him, when he saw that he was condemned, repented himself and brought again the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders, saying, I have sinned and that I betrayed the innocent blood. And they said, what is that to us? See thou to that. And he cast down the pieces of silver in the temple and departed and went and hanged himself. Judas let guilt lead him to his death. If we do not follow God's plan and do the things that God has laid forth for us to do to deal with guilt, it could lead to our destruction. Now we're going to look at overcoming guilt. We've seen how the world and the devil can work through our minds and work with our conscience and work against us to charge us with guilt. Now we're going to look at some ways to overcome guilt. We need to make corrections and restore relationships, confess and repent, recognize that God forgives us, and trust in God. Make corrections. We read in Luke 19, verse 8, and Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore in full fold. Here we see he was trying to restore what wrongdoing he'd done to others. And if we have that chance, we need to do that. If we've done wrong and guilt is caused between us and another person, we need to go to that person and try to work this out. We have it in our athletic policy at school. If you quit a team or a coach just misses you, you're out a year. But within that policy, we've written in that if you, after some amount of time, if you've changed and doing right and the coach sees that and they want to bring you back in, you can be on a team again or be in athletics. But part of that policy we put in was community service. And the community service had to be the student that dismissed and the coach. Because when they quit or he was dismissed, there was a wedge put in between. So we have to build that back together. And it's the same, we have to make corrections. Anytime we've feel we've wronged them, we have to go back, we have to remove that wedge and work together and try to work things out. So it's important to make corrections when we can. Also, we see we need to confess and repent. James 5 and 16, confess your faults to one another and pray for one another that ye may be healed. And effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. We also read in 2 Corinthians 7, verse 9 through 10, Now rejoice, not that they were made sorry, but that ye sorrowed to repentance. For ye were made sorry after a godly manner, that ye received damage unto us in nothing. For godly sorrow worketh repentance and salvation, not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world worketh death. If we're guilty of sin, we need to be able to confess sins to each other and help us move forward and give us reason not to commit the sin again. Holding on to the sin and not confessing it will cause guilt to build up in our lives. When we repent, we need to replace the sinful thoughts or actions with heavenly thoughts. Confession is to acknowledge that we've sinned, and repentance replaces that sin with godly works. And replacing ungodly thoughts with godly deeds will help us restore and lose our guilt. I found this story about guilt. I have, believe it or not, I have a few stories that I could share with myself, but y'all might be getting tired of that with me. But I found this story. I think every one of us can relate possibly to this. I know I could. A little boy was visiting his grandparents and given his first slingshot. He practiced in the woods, but he could never hit his target. As he came to grandma's backyard, he spied her pet duck. On impulse, he took aim and let it fly. The stone hit the duck and the duck fell dead. The boy panicked. Desperately, he hid the dead duck in the woodpile, only to look up to see his sister watching. Sally had seen it all, but she said nothing. After lunch that day, Grandma said, Sally, let's wash the dishes. But Sally said, Johnny told me he wanted to help in the kitchen today. Didn't you, Johnny? And she whispered to him, remember the duck? So Johnny did the dishes. Later, Grandpa asked if the children wanted to go fishing. Grandma said, I'm sorry, but I need Sally to help make supper. Sally smiled and said, that's all taken care of. Johnny wants to do it. Again, she whispered, remember the duck. Johnny stayed and Sally went fishing. After several days of Johnny doing his chores and Sally's, finally he couldn't stand it. He confessed to Grandma that he killed the duck. I know, Johnny, she said, giving him a hug. I was standing at the window and saw the whole thing. Because I love you, I forgave you. I was wondering how long you would let Sally make you a slave to her. You know, just like the grandmother, God knows our shortcomings. Until we confess them, it will continue to work in our lives and cause guilt and work in a negative way in our lives. If we confess and can restore the relationship that's lost, this will help us move farther and not dwell in the past. That's exactly what the devil wants us to do. He wants us to feel guilty so he can draw that wedge. I don't know if, and I can say for myself, the times that I might not have, I probably did something I didn't want to tell the whole story, or my dad didn't ask the right question. Every time I came to that point in my life and just decided this is what I'm going to do, you feel that disrelief off of you. So we need to rely on one another. We need to confess our sins to one another. We need to let people pray for us. We don't need to let pride in ourselves get in the way of this. It's a very important, confess and repentance is very important in our Christian walk. We need to recognize that God forgives. We read in 1 John 3, 20, verse 21, for if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart, and he knoweth all things. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then we have confidence toward God. We also read in 1 John 1 through 9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We read here, we get caught up, and this is where the world comes in again, and the devil can in our lives and working with us, because we live in a society that's not very forgiving. But God does forgive, and we need to understand and not be eaten up with the guilt. We need to love and trust God and to strive always to do his will. And do not let the devil or our conscience destroy that relationship we have with God. We need to recognize this in our lives, and it will help us deal with that. We also need to trust in God. Read in James 1 through 8, the double-minded man is unstable in all ways. In Matthew 6 and 24, no man can serve two masters, for he will either hate one and love the other, or else he will hold the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. I put this in here because we can't pick and choose. If God forgives us and he has a plan set forth where we can restore, we can confess, we can repent, if we're Christian, we need to understand that we can forgive ourselves because he does forgive, because that's what it says right here. We just read that. He forgives. And I put this in to say, if we're serving God, we need to trust in God and follow his ways and don't let the world, their conscience, and the devil get between us. I'm going to finish with Ephesians 2 and 8. Like we said, for by grace are ye saved through faith and that not of yourselves. It is a gift from God. God's answer to guilt was Jesus. Jesus shed his blood for our sins. We're not saved by our good works. We're all guilty of sin. We're saved by the grace through faith. We need to trust God's word when we're dealing with our feelings of guilt. If we're guilty, we need to repent, confess, repent, and restore the relationships that have been hurt and restore the relationship with God and follow God's plan completely in our lives. And this will let guilt, we will not have the guilt in our lives. This will help us.